China Game Podcast. We're at the Italian indie event, the Sviluppo Party, and I'm Pietro Polsinelli, I'm your host. Today we are with We Are Muesli, who are an Italian independent duo based in Milan. And so we are with Claudia Molinari and Matteo Pozzi. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Maybe you could shortly introduce yourself. I'll start with Claudia.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Claudia. I'm actually a visual designer. I don't come from game design knowledge. I've been working as a visual designer for almost 7 years. I've been doing illustration and graphic design. And since last year, I decided to start this new plan. And I'm now challenging myself into this new field, which is like game design, in particular with visual novels.
Okay, game design with visual novels. And Matteo?
Hi, I'm Matteo Pozzi. I'm Claudia's partner in We Are Muesli. And I'm I used to be a copywriter and a screenwriter for television. I come from a different background than video games. I used to work with Claudia on design and communication projects for this past like 5-6 years, and now we are trying this new thing in game design with this project called We Are Muesli.
Okay, so what has been your first project?
You mean in game design or
as We Are Muesli.
As We Are Muesli, we started with a project based on making posters about famous actor Klaus Kinski.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to...
Interesting face.
Yeah, that you actually touched an important point. Such an interesting face that we decided to not to mention his face in our posters.
Ah.
So we only used his lips because the lips are the most important feature of Klaus Kinski, and also to provoke him as he was such a vanity person, shall I say?
Very self-centered
and very selfish as well. So we decided to honor him with some posters. So this was our first project
in order to reinforce the feeling.
Yeah, exactly, to reinforce its feelings, but also because we believe that not many people nowadays, young people know his work.
Okay.
And it was like a challenge for us to bring his amazing work also with his friend. Oh my God, what's the name of the friend? I can't remember. The friend, director of Kinski.
Oh, Werner Herzog.
Yeah, Herzog. Okay. There you go. Yeah, sorry about that. Sometimes my mind goes.
His best enemy.
Yeah.
He used to be his best enemy.
Yes, I recently read his Herzog autobiography. It's a splendid book, maybe.
Yeah, he
talks about this complex star relationship.
We dig through his work.
Okay.
So that was our first project.
That's not exactly a video game.
No, that's not exactly a video game, but it was a way for us to do unconventional storytelling, because this is actually the payoff of We Are Muesli. Which is, as I said, unconventional storytelling. So through the design of a sign, the design of a framework of signs, we want the audience to dig through a topic. In that particular case was Klaus Kinski, then we dig through other topics like the project about 9/11.
Yeah. And what was that about?
It was pretty strange project that came from our almost our obsession with 9/11, with September 11 event, and it was born in 2011 on September 11 of 2011, so 10 years after September 11, 2001. Mm-hmm. And we decided to in 2001. When this tragic, horrific event happened, we told to ourselves that nothing will ever be the same or something like that. But 10 years after, everything almost looked like the same. So we decided to try to make this experimental project to try to live as if every day was 9/11. And so for a year, for
3,065 days, we had this Tumblr website where we posted every day something about 9/11. It could be a video, it could be a story, or it could be also an illustration made by us about it. And so for a full year, we kept this website alive. The website was called 356911. And so after a year, we have this kind of archive of 365 different content about 9/11. So it was a pretty obsessive project. Both
storytelling again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was like we pretended, because of that particular article that was written, I think, by the Times or by the Guardians or the New York Times
itself.
Yeah,
a lot of headlines.
There was this headline, strong headline that said nothing will be the same. But after 10 years, everybody was walking and smiling like there are people that don't even know that that happened on 9/11. So we pretended that every day was 9/11.
Okay, so just you're sort of trying to reflect on the matter without explicitly giving the moral, but
yeah,
just by presenting the facts in some
exactly
slightly
yeah,
different new
The original idea for the concept was to have 12 different perspectives on 9/11, about the past of 9/11, meaning what caused 9/11 to happen, and the present of 9/11, so what happened exactly during that day, and the future of 9/11, so what have been the consequences on our present day after 9/11 happened. And then we had like 900 different perspectives. We had 9/11 in numbers, 9/11 in places, told by places, told by people. So because I mean, it was whatever your judgment is about this fact, you have to admit that it's been such an impactful event that has determined a lot of things after, and it comes from many previous facts. So.
Okay, so in fact, the usage of social media for this kind of storytelling experiences,
yeah,
there has been many kind of experience, like storytelling through Twitter, or
yeah,
like
Twitter,
World War II every day, or things like this. And,
yeah,
and
Twitter, it's one of the most powerful tools that we use as we are Muesli. There are people that are more familiar, that they feel like more comfortable in using Facebook, but we kind of like using Twitter because you can have kind of more authentic feedback, more genuine conversations. It happens to us that after the death of Steve Jobs, we exchanged some tweets with Wu Ming, the
Italian collective writer group based
very
in Bologna.
Important. Exactly. And immediately after his death, they made a provocation, and this provocation was related to the name of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs in Italian, every language, Jobs means Jobs. They made this provocation about Steve workers. So they asked on Twitter what was the face of Steve workers. And we cooked that challenge again. I'm talking about challenge all the time, but literally we are Muesli. It's about taking challenges, like Carpe Diem. And so we took that challenge and we tried to make the face of Steve workers. And that became actually the face of Steve workers. So, which is like the antithesis of Steve Jobs. So Steve Jobs was an amazing person that made a design, but who are the people that worked?
Okay.
Who are the people behind him? So Steve workers is the alter ego of Steve Jobs.
Okay, great. And then after that, what came?
And then after that, games.
Games.
After that, games. It came as a trial. We actually said, let's try that. We've never done that before. And we thought that by combining our expertise, it was not easy, but it was important that we again challenged ourselves into this new field. Also because I love comics, so I come from a comic manga background, and Matteo loves video games.
Okay, so you were also a force in this decision?
Yeah, I mean, one day I was reading, I can't remember, maybe it was on Venus Patrol by Brandon Boyer or someone else's blog or website, and I read about this competition, which was called the Bosch Out Game, the foundation, a Dutch foundation. I mean, actually, the Dutch foundation that promotes the art of Hieronymus Bosch, the Dutch painter from the 15th century, was promoting this contest about making a video game inspired by the art of Hieronymus Bosch. So I told Claudia, oh, I read about this thing, it's pretty cool, because, I mean, we already knew about Hieronymus Bosch. It was actually one of our favorite painters since we were like kids. So we thought that it would be really cool to take part to this competition. And after this thought, we realized that okay, but we cannot make a video game. We don't know how to make a video game. But then after that, we thought that no, maybe we can make a video game, because I mean you have visual design skills, I have narrative skills. So why not to try to make a narrative video game by combining these skills of ours? So we started exploring a little bit what the web had to offer, and we found out about this beautiful and very powerful open source tool, which is called the RenPy, that, like many other tools which are available for free on the web, can make people who would like to try to make a video game, they give them the superpower to actually make them. I'm thinking also about Twine for text-based video games and many others. So even if you have no game development skills, like we had not, you can learn a few tricks and take a little bit of time to learn how the tool works, and you can actually make a video game. So that's what we try to do.
I think that with our project, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I really think that we want to make a few statements. First of all, that we are in the perfect moment, historical moment, to create, to have all the tools that you need to create something that can make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, internet provides even non-designers a lot of tools to do something. So if you have an idea, dig into the internet, you will find your solution, you will find a way to find the way. So this is the first statement. Maybe the second statement is that we would like to bring art into video games. Video games are a little bit underlooked. People feel, the majority of the people feel that video games are for kids or are for people that just like wasting time in front of television or things like this. We want to a little bit demonstrate that this is not the truth. And the third statement is that everybody that has an idea can make a video game. And video game is a powerful tool, like with the great power comes great responsibilities. So video games can provide knowledge, culture, and can be closer to target of people that have never come closer to a game before.
Well, so listening to you, two things come to mind. I had no doubt that, I mean, from what the experiments and the project you did before, you wouldn't go in games like in space zombies. Anyway, I mean, the fact, the problem
don't
that...
Think too that highly about us.
No, but that, which is fine,
we,
actually.
We play zombies as well.
But that's another... Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that video games are not... this is something quite debated, is are not recognized as a dignified cultural mean. Whether, without entering the games as art debate, but still, I mean, which is something like comics also had as a problem. The corner, the dark corner of the shop. But in the academic world, this probably is already a problem that has been overcome with the amount of game theory and discussion and the amount of academic research. Maybe in the artistic expression, we don't see that many products coming out. What is your experience? What's your ideas in about this?
Well, I sincerely believe that there is like a shift into the indie game society. There are games with an artistic direction that has nothing to nothing less than other important games. I'm thinking about a video game called Thomas Was Alone. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have heard of him, but Thomas Was Alone was for me a way to go back into video games because my knowledge of video games stopped at Commodore 64. So when I saw that game,
which today has a huge comeback. Anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I should go back into my Boulder Dash game disc. But Thomas Was Alone was for me a very beautiful game with such a high artistic statement. So I think that now games, indie games above all, and the indie corner can give a lot of potential into the art field.
Plus, there are also some interesting intersections that are happening right now between the world of traditional, let's say, arts and the world of video games. I'm thinking about, for example, to Pippin Barr, who is this game designer from New Zealand. He's also a teacher at this Game Design Institute in Malta, who, aside of making some beautiful art games, and one of the best is called Art Game, which is a really funny and thought-provoking answer to the old debate you were talking about. I mean, if is art game and stuff like that. No, our games, art and stuff like that. But now he's actually working with the Marina Abramovich Institute, and he actually made a video game version of Marina Abramovich's latest performance, The Artist Is Present, which has now become a video game. So it's pretty crazy. I mean, we're kind of getting used. I mean, we're all used to the video game version of a movie, of great movies, and the game adaptations from movies or from books and stuff like that. And now there are some designers who are making the video game version of a piece of art, and that's something really strange or really interesting. I mean, we think that every contamination between different worlds is always so positive, and having a fresh eye and approaching a new field from a different perspective very easily produces something different from because I mean you think out of the box you're accustomed to. So.
I also feel that going back into the topic about bringing people that has never played into game design, I think the winning point for this game industry is that people understand that there are genres. Because at the moment, the big misunderstanding is that games are treated all at the same level.
Yeah.
And there is not a differentiation about... Like in, it's like if now game design is kind of like movies at the beginning of the 19th centuries, that they were movies. So now we have games, but people should understand that there are different genres, so you can have like... they are not the same, they have different levels, they have different immersive...
Immersive
experience. Thank you. Sometimes my words go funny. But that's it, really. So I would like in the future just to go, for example, into an event dedicated to a specific game genre, which is the big goal.
Well, yes. This is a problem we all meet frequently. Actually, if you inquire if the very term game has huge ambiguities, like Sebastian Detterding's the paideia. I mean, the game is pure fun and game with rules distinction. It's already making separating huge differences. But maybe there's also something nice. Is the fact that this very moment you were saying before you about the fact that it's a moment where we have all these tools for expression, which is very interesting. And I find also very interesting this historical moment, the fact that games are played on the most video games, diverse platforms.
True.
So from Facebook to mobile, from consoles to PCs, and with different kind of genres, kind of players, and you can, and if your games goes somehow across this platform, you can reach huge audiences. So also here in your previous experiments, you were sort of doing an effort to make some ideas, concepts more reachable.
Yeah, it's difficult, but that we are trying to extend our project into different platforms. There are a lot of difficulties because those platforms are a kind of a new era of distributing your projects. So it's very difficult to understand. First of all, let's talk about budget. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to understand how much budget you have to spend to have your game, your project into one particular platform, because as I said, those are kind of new way of distribution. And as a new way, you can have different kind of estimations and different kind of feedbacks and different kind of proposals. Mm. So that it's a kind of an issue.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to ask you about this in the sense that it's bringing you really down to the ground. But as I've been working too also on serious games, and I found how difficult economically is to survive in this kind of field, because sort of by design you're not pointing to a huge commercial success. But so did you ever do or did you ever intend to also do game design for other fields, in the sense of custom work or for I don't know, like if a public institution wants to promote, I don't know, the behavior with respect to alcohol consumption or things like this that we normally do in game design just to survive.
I mean there are so many so-called serious issues that have yet to be effectively explored in video games that the possibilities are so many. I mean the ways of gaming are infinite, I guess.
But did you, as a studio, are you going into this field, or you want to keep more working on a research?
No. We want to focus on cultural, but also not just cultural in terms of that.
Not just cultural institutionalized.
Exactly, okay. But also we would like to do products that can help people to understand a thematic. Mm-hmm. So, if the thematic that we ride, it's cultural or a serious thematic, like as you were saying, alcohol, or it's something that we would like to carry on. We're really inspired by the work. But the game Paper Please, which was a game that really, really struck us and said to us, really talked to us in terms of this is a new way of making games. And already there are a lot of people, beautiful people, very experienced people that do entertainment games. And it's a field that we appreciate, but we feel that our expertise it's more closer an educational aspect of our job.
Okay.
Personally, I would love to make a video game about game addiction. That would be something to do.
You mean betting addiction or?
Yeah. I'm thinking about, you know, slot machines kind of games.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's always this debate about how kids are addicted to video games. While if we looked the things from a different perspective, we should admit that probably it's the generation of the fathers and the mothers of those kids that in many cases are addicted to another dangerous kind of game, not video games, but, you know, betting and stuff.
Well,
like
I did a bit of a study of the way you get into betting mechanics and dependence. It's quite different from video games in this sense. They're two different fields, but doing some persuasive work on that would be, I think, extremely interesting and unfortunately extremely useful, because the problem is getting worse and
addiction. It's addiction is addiction in every field. So this is just to say that a video game cannot bring a person to kill. I remember my mother saying, I don't play video games, and then those are dangerous, because then don't watch cartoons, because you might end up doing strange things. But
also Dungeons and Dragons was dangerous, also comics were dangerous at a certain moments.
Also books, when they arrived, were dangerous.
Yeah, also paper books. I mean, printed books, they were dangerous.
Yeah,
when they were
because they were like evil, and so I think that every new media, it's perceived as a dangerous media. Yes. So we should actually dig into the topic more in depth before making a judgment. And we feel that video games can definitely be the new avant-garde of communication, because through a video game you can really do amazing things. You can be inclusive, you can be
exclusive.
Exclusive also, but this is a field that can give a lot of new culture into this culture.
So maybe it's time to get into the details of your game, of the Cave Cave Deus Videt. Can you start telling something about that?
Cave Cave Deus Videt is the visual novel that we made for a Bosch Art Game competition. It's a visual novel, so it's a narrative game. It combines Claudia's visual design skills with my expertise in storytelling, and it's mainly we have this prototype already available for free from the web, which is called Episode Zero, because we are planning to make a trilogy out of it, so an episodic series of games, and the prototype deals with one particular painting by Hieronymus Bosch, which is the Triptych of the Temptation of Saint Anthony, which is one of his most complex and enigmatic paintings. So our idea as visual novels are basically a new take on game books and choose your own adventure, like stories. While we were studying and making some research about Hieronymus Bosch, we realized that his works are really contradictory, and there are so many different interpretations that art historians have made on his works.
Oh, great!
So we thought about, it should be nice to make like a choose your own meaning video game. So by playing a video game, you go through different possible interpretations of the art of Bosch, because there are some art historians that have made interpretation about Bosch's work as with references to alchemy or to tarot cards, or with heresy, or really orthodox interpretations from a religious point of view. So there's a lot of controversy going on about what is the meaning of the art, of the works by Hieronymus Bosch. So we thought about, okay, let's make a video game where the player can go through different interpretation, not choosing the interpretations in an explicit way, as if the player was reading about it on an academic book, on an art book, but you went through a story, which is the story set today. I mean, set in the Lisbon Museum, where this painting is located, and the protagonist is a 17-year-old kid. So that's something that even kids can relate.
You can project on. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And you go through this different interpretation, and somehow you learn something about the art of Hieronymus Bosch in a non-explicit way. So you live through it instead of just being pushed into it.
Yeah, well, it's a really cool experience, and this has all the potential of being extremely boring, but actually it isn't, because you've peppered the path, yeah, with ideas, something really a highly creative process, and you surprise the player, and you have some deep insight about his own internal life, making it lively, interesting, and somehow you also made bridges between the artwork and the contemporary life. And because, in fact, every artwork was contemporary in its own time. And so this makes the game very lively. I guess that this wasn't trivial or automatic.
It wasn't automatic, also because you need to start from the fact that we didn't want to remove for the gamer the experience to go really to a museum and see the painting. So we wanted to give a different experience. When you are in front of a painting in a museum, above all with Bosch, you get the full picture of the painting. You are not able to see the details. By perhaps forcing this key, we are forcing the player to actually go into the details of the painting to show him how genius was this painter back in the 15th century. So when you look at every little scene from one particular interpretation, you understand that this painting itself, that particular scene could be a painting within the painting.
Oh yeah, this is amazing experience, and with your game you experience this completely.
Yeah, as you said, it could get boring because obviously it forced some keys. Mm-hmm. But also, like the painter of this great master, there was a provoker. But it was doing things also to provoke the audience. Our game wants humbly place itself as a little piece of art, mm-hmm, and as a little piece of art wants to provoke the player to go through and through and through. Mm-hmm. So you can choose different storyline, and in both storylines there is a moment when you really want to say, oh, that's it, I'm gonna smash this computer, because I cannot believe that they forced this key so much. We actually did, but it was intended to make you look at the painting more and more and more.
Well, that fits, the way you presented it fits with a gamer's attitude. I mean, they get maniac at a certain point when a game you like, you get maniac with it. So,
true.
At least in my experience, it seems to be working.
Well, thank you very much. We should hope that everybody's get maniac about it, because otherwise we're going to get a lot of computer crashed. So.
Now, one of the most gratifying experience that we've been through these past few months where we had Cave Cave out was at South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas. We had the game for a showcase, and the people could come over and play. And we were were a bit scared at the beginning because South by Southwest Gaming Expo was such an overstimulating location. I mean, there were the big players and Microsoft and Nintendo.
Not exactly
and
location
Oculus.
I would expect you.
Yeah,
anyway.
but we were absolutely amazed at the fact that people took like 30, 45 minutes there sitting by sitting at our booth and actually playing the game, which means a lot of reading and a lot of clicking and clicking and clicking, while all around all the crazy things were happening, people with Oculus Rifts and stuff like that. But even kids were like, I mean, that was I was stunned seeing like 12 years old kids that sat right there and went through our game and taking the time to actually play it. That was absolutely one of the most gratifying things we've been through.
Great. So I think we should all try it. We can try it online.
Yeah, the video game can be downloaded for free from our website. And we are actually currently working on episode 1. So every feedback at the moment are mostly appreciated because it gives us the possibility to adjust what it doesn't work. So
great. And so one thing, what's in the future apart from Cave Cave?
What we are planning to do, we have a few things in mind. We would like to dig into some historical aspects of the past that haven't been overlooked, that have been actually forgotten by people. So we would like to take that kind of untold stories, like the stories that have been a little bit missed, like missing stories of the past, and we would like to bring
past recent past. I mean, 20th century or before.
We are considering different kind of past.
Okay.
So it seems like that lately we are specializing ourselves to celebrating anniversaries. So we've done like the 9/11 one. We are doing this Bosch Game 500.
Well, maybe it could be a theme.
Yeah. So we that could be a thing. So we know we are planning to see what anniversary is going to come next.
Let's keep an eye on the calendar and you know those Wikipedia pages where today in history.
Google Doodle and work out for a new game.
Maybe they'll ask you the next one. I would if it were them.
Well, that would be very, very rewarding.
Okay, no,
because,
so
I mean, as curious people, we have some issues we would like to work on. I'll just give you an example. There is we would love like to make a video game about JFK assassination. We missed that for a few, but
That's a modest, easy team.
No, there is, but I mean,
without any competition.
Yeah, true. But this kind of things, like you know, as we told you, there are so many different interpretations about the art of Hieronymus Bosch. There are so many different theories about the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So why not to make?
Started before the anniversary of Kennedy. We started a game, but then for some reasons like work and personal problems, we had to leave it aside. But
it happens with games.
Yeah, so like unfinished projects.
Yes.
I have a garage.
It's a norm.
But yeah, that was a project we would like to finish by next year. Yeah.
In 2063.
for
100th anniversary.
Okay. Well, it was really great talking with you, and I think we'll all go and check out your works. And so I hope to hear you soon again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for us to be here.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.